Good morning. It's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Monday, January 6th, 2013. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. Services have been scheduled for Vida Davis, a longtime Sitka resident and native elder. She dedicated much of her life to Tlingit cultural education. Davis died on Wednesday, January 1st in Sitka. She was 70 years old. Davis moved to Sitka at the age of 4 after being adopted by her Tlingit parents, Eddie and Mary Marshall. Her biological Inupiaq parents had passed away from tuberculosis. She was always very proud of her Inupiaq roots and being raised in a traditional Tlingit home. Davis worked as a Tlingit language instructor at Sheldon Jackson College. She took great pride in teaching the Tlingit language and dedicated over 35 years of her life to Tlingit cultural instruction. Through the Sitka Native Education Program, she transcribed many songs for the Gajahin dancers. In addition to sharing and partaking in Tlingit culture, she enjoyed singing in the St. Michael's Russian Orthodox Church Choir, picking berries, and picnicking on the islands around Sitka. Church services will be held at St. Michael's Cathedral today at noon. A reception will follow at AMB Hall. KCAW News will follow up with a story next week that will take a more in-depth look at Davis's contribution to cultural revitalization in Sitka. A Sitka educator has won a Presidential Award for Excellence in Mathematics and Science. Rebecca Himshute teaches science at Kikushihin Elementary School. She's one of two Alaskan teachers honored by the White House this year and one of only 102 teachers nationwide to receive the recognition, which includes a $10,000 cash prize from the National Science Foundation. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Rebecca Himshute is the science teacher for 2nd through 5th grades. She says that she really doesn't do anything extraordinary for her students beyond what any good teacher tries to do. It's mainly about keeping kids engaged. The skies over Sitka are gray and rainy much of the time. Learning about planets and astronomy can be a tough sell. But Himshute, through a grant from the local charitable trust, brings in a star lab every year and inflates it, sort of like a giant bouncy castle, inside the gym.
If my teacher in elementary school had brought a planetarium into the classroom, it probably would have caught my attention and maybe even changed the direction I went with my education.
Himshute also takes advantage of opportunities for professional development that other teachers may not. In 2007, she traveled aboard a research vessel for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration as one of NOAA's Teachers at Sea. It was a 3-week cruise in the Bering Sea studying the pollock fishery. But she also finds opportunities closer to home.
I try to use local resources as much as I can to connect kids to science. So I bring in lots of Forest Service scientists, and the Sitka Sound Science Center has certainly brought some scientists to town who came into the classroom and helped kids connect more to science. So I think it's those little extras that might catch attention.
It was Forest Service biologist Rob Miller who nominated Himshute for the award, which goes to only two teachers from each state. Himshute entered the paperwork back in 2012 and had pretty much forgotten about it until she was notified this past December, just before school went out on winter break. The national recognition, along with a lot of rest over vacation, has helped energize her for getting back into the classroom.
In my own education, though I had an excellent education, I was not turned on to science, and I think I feel an obligation if I have the great gift of being allowed to teach science all day, every day, then that comes also with the responsibility of helping kids connect more to science and making it more real for them.
Besides winning $10,000, which she can spend any way she likes, Himshute will get an all-expense-paid trip to Washington, D.C. and a chance to meet President Obama. The president's schedule could upset that plan. More of a sure thing, though, is a behind-the-scenes tour of the Smithsonian Institution. That's cool, she's pretty sure.
Possibly geeky for other people, but for a teacher, very, very exciting.
Two other Sitka teachers are previous winners of the Presidential Award for Mathematics and Science, Cheryl Hedden and Barbara Renoux. Himshute's colleague from Alaska sharing this year's honor is Amy Laufer, a math teacher at Kossoon Elementary in Anchorage. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
The Petersburg Borough is 1 year old this month and is still going through the process of transitioning to an expanded municipality. Besides creating new borough ordinances and assessing the value of land within Petersburg's boundaries, local officials are also considering which state land will be claimed by the new local government. As Joe Wicknicki reports, a committee making recommendations on land selection has started going over maps of the available parcels.
Selection of state land is one of the incentives for forming a new borough. Not all of the state's holdings are available to the new municipality. In fact, it's just a small portion. The lands are called vacant, unappropriated, and unreserved, or VUU land, and it's acreage that's not already been selected for grants to the university, Alaska Mental Health Trust, Southeast State Forest, or other state uses. Alaska law says the new borough is entitled to no less than 10% of the VUU land within its boundaries. A December 6th letter from the Department of Natural Resources says 10% of the available land is 1,800 acres. However, the DNR says that amount will be reduced by 457 acres because of a prior municipal entitlement already given to the old city of Petersburg. That leaves a selection of over 1,300 acres. Committee members thought the borough should be seeking more than that. However, Chair Rick Braun wanted to go ahead with the selection process.
I would suggest that we select out of the VUU that we've been given, that we select the 1,300-something acres and get what we can now, and then proceed with a legislative appropriation or some other way to get the additional, but, instead of holding up the whole process.
Wrangell Republican Representative Peggy Wilson got a bill passed in 2010 that increased the land given to the Wrangell and Haines boroughs. Under that bill, Wrangell was entitled to just over 9,000 acres, while Haines got over 3,100 acres. Committee member Ron Bushman thought the borough could convince legislators that the Mental Health Trust and University have already selected the most valuable state land in the area, and Petersburg should be granted more of what's left. And Dave Kensinger thought the borough could make an argument for 10% of what's been granted to the Mental Health Trust.
If Mental Health got 100 acres, we should be able to get another 10 acres in unreserved state land. So it should increase our allotment. You know, because the state's given up quite a bit of land to non-taxpaying entities in the borough.
Yeah, exactly.
With mental health land and university land.
The land available for selection has been further reduced by the creation of a Southeast State Forest with acreage that could be used for future timber sales. The committee voted unanimously to recommend the borough seek legislative help to increase its land selection. That was the only recommendation coming out of the committee during its second meeting. However, the group started looking through maps supplied by DNR of the available lands. Committee members discussed for what purpose the borough should be selecting land, and responses ranged from rock pits to drinking water protection to general economic development. Committee member Ron Bushman wanted to target acreage that could be developed.
You know, economic development lands, but also land that maybe like some waterfront land that we could sell at some point. And I mean, the mental health has made a tremendous amount of money off of the lands they've sold between the city and Pat, or you know, the old city limits, Pappy's Landing, and use that to fund some of the things we're going to have problems funding, like rebuilding the Pappy's dock and some of that stuff.
Papke's Landing is 10 miles south of downtown Petersburg, and the borough may eventually take over a state-owned dock and boat ramp there. However, that's separate from the borough land selection process. There's no available state land to select at Papke's, but a parcel not too far away at Falls Creek drew some interest from the committee. There was also support for land on the Kuprinoff Island shoreline just north of Saspe Island. That's along one possible road route to connect to the nearby community of Cake. The borough land selection and conveyance process could take 3 to 5 years. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Wicknicki.
And your best photo of commercial fishing in Alaska could win airline tickets or an Apple iPad. The Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, or ASME, is putting out the call for submissions for its second annual fishing photo contest. Communications Director Tyson Fick says the photos will help tell the story of the Alaska seafood industry and will help ASME market that seafood to the world.
You know, whether in-store, recipe leaflets, they could wind up on the website, Facebook, things like that, all the different avenues that we use to promote Alaska seafood.
Prizes will be given out in 7 categories, including throwback, scenic, family, boat, or action photos.
What's new this year is after we get all the entrants in, we're going to put up about 20 or 30 of the judges' selections that then will be on our Facebook site, and we'll have a fan favorite option. And the one that gets the most likes through the Facebook page, the photographer will get a trip for two anywhere that Alaska Airlines flies.
Last year, in its first year, the contest brought in close to 600 entries. The deadline for submissions this year is February 2nd. Winners will be announced February 17th. There's more information, including rules and forms, on the ASME website, alaskaseafood.org. And that's all for Raven News for this morning. We're coming up on 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka. 43 degrees in Sitka under cloudy skies. It's a little rainy out there as well. You can expect rain today with highs around 44 degrees. Southeast winds 10 to 20 miles per hour, becoming east 10 miles per hour in the afternoon. Rain tonight with lows around 40, east winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. And rain is likely tomorrow with highs around 43. Southeast winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. We'll have a 2.1-foot low tide coming up at 10:31 this morning, a 9.2-foot high tide at 4:22 this afternoon, and a 0.75-foot low tide at 10:38 tonight. The sun will rise in 44 minutes at 8:44. It will set at 3:26 this afternoon. That's 6 hours and 42 minutes of daylight and a gain of 2 minutes and 22 seconds over yesterday. Services for Vida Davis will be held at St. Michael's Cathedral today at noon, and a reception will follow at A&B Hall. Stay tuned for a local interview at 8:18 about the DSLR digital photo class that will be held through the Fine Arts Camp, and that's coming up at 8:18. So do stay tuned if you can, and also check out our website at kcaw.org, where you can check out the community calendar. Good morning.